There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
There hasn't been any news unless, of course, you want to talk about Ezekiel Elliott, Jared Goff, or wait for it, Antonio Brown. What a week it is. I'm Wendy Nix, Dan Orlovsky, Marcus Spears, JoJo is here, Jack Del Rio. And listen, we're ready for football, but AB's got something else to say. We'll start with that. He's back at it. I'll let you judge for yourself. He posted today on Instagram a photo of a fine letter he received for the team because he missed a walkthrough on August 22nd. He tagged it with this post saying, "When your own team want to hate, but there's no stopping me now. Devil is a lie. Everyone got to pay this year, so we clear." Now, what I'm not clear on is exactly what that meant, but I gather he doesn't love the fine, but everyone's got to pay it. Anyone want to translate?
Well, one, just show up. Just go to your meeting.
There's that.
I mean,
you can start there.
Yeah, everyone follows the same rules. I look at it like this. This is another example of AB being unhappy about something and making it into an issue. When is it going to be the case where he's on the field and, one, this team doesn't win games, or, two, the quarterback doesn't throw him the ball enough, and we're going to see the Instagram posts come as part of sideline rants, and that's going to put a lot of pressure on Derek Carr going, if I don't throw the ball to AB, I got to deal with something during a game.
I understand that he's a tremendously talented player. I suspect the Raiders, if he produces, will be happy he's there, Marcus, Jack, JoJo. But it has been one thing after another, and I think at some point you have to ask, you know, is this going to get real rocky at some point?
This is what you bargain for.
Of course it is.
Right?
It better
money,
be.
Money makes us more of who we are. And look, the Oakland made a decision. John Gruden made a decision that we're going to bring AB in. Hopefully he'll be that elite wide receiver for a few years, and then we'll move on. This is about the Raiders franchise on the field, the 53 and the third. Like, for you to be surprised, if the Oakland Raiders are surprised about what AB has done, they didn't do their due diligence, and they didn't watch us talk about AB while he was in Pittsburgh.
Here's the problem. I agree with you, Marcus, but the problem is, Jack, and we have seen this one team, one player after another, everybody believes, you know what, not in my house. When they get here, we can fix it. When they get here, this behavior will change, and that everybody tends to do that. In this case, they better hope that they were okay with that behavior rather than hoping it would change.
We all feel like we can help the guy be a little better under our direction, okay? So John Gruden, Mike Mayock, they made a decision to go out and get this very talented player, and I bet they can't wait to get to the doggone game because he is really good. Mm. But you're going to have this drama. It's just going to follow him. It's going to be part of what you're acquiring when you bring in AB is you're going to get the drama to go along with the performance. But good, the games are getting ready to start. Let's see the performance, and then everything will be okay.
JoJo, what's your take?
I think it's interesting because when you listen to the tweet, the first thing is like, well, who's the one hating? Mike Mayock is probably asking himself, and who's the devil in the tweet? Because he's the one giving him the $30.1 million that's supposed to be allocated over salary between the next 2 years. And then secondly, I think it just comes from AB's expectation that things were cool, right? Because once he got his helmet endorsement, you're watching Hard Knocks, he's got that rapport with John Gruden, he's telling him, I'm on your side, I understand that you had to go through it. He's probably thinking everything is great. And then I come back and you mollywop me with these fines. It's like, what's going on? Particularly when there are teams out there who sometimes, you know, take away the fines. Like when Marshawn Lynch was away from the team, they took away the fines. He came back. That was already understood. He's probably thinking, I'm getting that star treatment. And then you don't. But I think the question is, should he have really expected that when just a week before the GM had put down that ultimatum to him, trying to show him he can be strict? And so Mike Mayock is in his first year as GM. He's trying to set the tone with how he's dealing with a star player. And you see that with the way that he put that fine out. It was a rude awakening for AB.
What we've seen is there's the difference in the NFL between being a great player and a great pro. AB is a great
player.
But what we've seen over the last 6 months in his addition to Oakland, he's not a great pro. And that's not the impact you want for your organization. You surely want his competitiveness and the way he practices and his performances on the field. But the reason he's getting fined is Mike Mayock can't allow him to get away with things that he's not going to allow a first or second year player.
Follow the rules.
Yeah, that might not be to the playing standard or the playing dominance that AB has.
But didn't you know this was the total package when you signed this deal? Didn't you sort of almost say, tip your hat and a nod to the things that you don't like and say, you know what, we'll take it all? I mean, it's no secret.
I guess I'm just different. I mean,
I agree with you, Marcus.
Being a great pro to me when you play wide receiver is catching 10 touchdowns, 1,300.
So this doesn't bother you?
Look, man, we have our definitions of what we want guys to be. We live in this imaginative state that every grown adult is supposed to act accordingly to what we perceive them to act like. This is AB. They knew if their definition of a great pro is what you're talking about, they wouldn't have signed him. They signed him because of what he does professionally.
However, you're hoping it's not an indicator of the beginning of a rift between him and Mike Mayock.
Oh, it's already a rift, JoJo.
Well, in terms of it, you know, sticking, solidifying, because things seem to be assuaged after the helmet issue was done. So you were hoping everything was behind you, and then it's like, oh, again,
here we go again.
So here's the deal. Everybody can't act surprised that when all of this stuff balled over in Pittsburgh, that it had just started.
I don't think it's a surprise. Yep. It's just exasperation.
Well, you know? AB was balling before all this came to light in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. Like, he plays under these circumstances. Mm-hmm. The issue is, can Oakland handle it for the time that he'll be there?
Right.
That's the issue. But this is comfortable for AB. Everybody talking like AB's supposed to be in shock that all of this is going on.
This is how he lives.
This is the element he created
really
around himself.
Can the quarterback handle it? That's really
the question.
And look, only one Raider has ever caught 100 passes. AB has done that 6 seasons in a row. He does that, and we all know what happens. A lot is forgiven. The question now becomes, will he? And for that, we have to wait until Sunday. All right. And then there's Zeke. The Dallas Cowboys, if you haven't heard, and Ezekiel Elliott have come to terms on a 6-year, $90 million contract extension, $50 million guaranteed. That's a lot of money, according to our Ed Werder, and it surpasses Todd Gurley's $45 million as the most for an NFL running back. That was, we believe, part of Ezekiel's goal. And there's certainly not much to argue with when it comes to his resume since he entered the league. He has over 600 more rushing yards than does any other player. And despite missing 8 career games, he also leads the league in carries during that span. No player has approached the number of 100-yard rushing games by Elliott either. Here's Jerry Jones.
Well, I just turned my pockets out upstairs. It means I'm $100 million lighter as of this morning. But seriously, Zeke has been arguably our best player. I'm not trying to be unfair to anybody else, but he's an incremental part to our success. We're glad to get him booked in. We're glad to have him on the team. He plays a position that has some pretty interesting dynamics to it, because running backs are short-lived. Although we had what I consider to be one of the top 5 greatest ones in Emmitt Smith. And Emmitt ran the ball for 13 years. So you don't have to have a 4 or 5 year career to be a running back. On the other hand, Zeke allows us to create such problems for the defense that then we can open it up to our passing, open it up for Dak Prescott. Of course, we got to have some guys on defense to get those guys the ball. That's what this is all about.
Jerry Jones on CNBC this morning, Ed, and it's certainly financial news when you're talking about that kind of money. Ed Werder joins us now, and I think I'll ask you first, Ed, how did this transpire over the last 24 hours or so when the details were really getting hammered out?
Well, Wendy, it really came together very early this morning at a time when those involved on both sides were seriously questioning whether that was even possible. The Cowboys insisted that Ezekiel Elliott leave Cabo and fly to Dallas before they would finish the contract negotiations. So Elliott and his agent, Rocky Arsenault, flew to Dallas, even though Jerry and Stephen Jones were in New York. As Arsenault went to a late-night dinner across the street from the Star here, he saw Cowboys left tackle Tyron Smith, and he whispered to him as he passed by, "I'm working to get your boy in." And soon after talks resumed at 4 a.m., that's exactly what happened. It seems an across-the-board win for Elliott, the highest-paid running back in the league, for a team that claimed it wouldn't let the NFL market dictate the value of its contracts. And with Elliott here and preparing to play Sunday, the message delivered now, Wendy, to the front seems to be that the front office has done its part, and now Jason Garrett, whose contract wasn't extended this offseason, and the players have to meet the high internal expectations clearly in place here.
I think clearly in place is an appropriate description, Ed. Thank you. It took a minute, but you're right. Elliott finally got what he wanted. He surpassed his Gurley's record contract from last summer. His new deal will set a new running back record for the most guaranteed money and the highest annual average. Keep in mind, he had 2 years to go on his current contract, but he had some leverage. Listen, I don't know how you slice it any other way, but to say if you're win and lose, it's either a win-win or what? But there's no loss here for Ezekiel Elliott.
I wouldn't even say he won. I would say he reset the standard of winning.
Fair enough.
I mean,
win big.
Well, the position that everyone right now in the NFL is saying you can just plug and play, and the fact that he had 2 years left on his contract, and not only did he get a new contract, but he set a record within that new contract. I mean, that is a grand slam home run sweep.
This is a huge win for both parties. I mean, you're talking, yeah, they paid a premium for a premium player. This is a really good football player and fits excellent into their talented offensive line. They're going to be able to road grade people. I mean, Ezekiel is the straw that stirs the drink.
Yep.
I mean,
he is
exactly that. This guy is getting paid a lot of money, but this guy is a great football player, and I think it's great for the Dallas Cowboys to get this done.
JoJo, you know a lot of people who throw out this league, right? Look, Zeke won tremendously, like y'all said, but this ain't for everybody. Mm. Like, I want guys in the league to not look at
right.
this particular
situation. Right, you better be Ezekiel Elliott if you pull this off. Yeah.
Zeke is not the best talent in the league, but as of right now, he's the best running back in the league. And value-wise, Rocky Arsenault couldn't have afforded for Zeke not to be the highest paid running back. He couldn't have afforded it because you can't justify it to any other guy that's coming along if you can't get the best back in the league paid. So from both standpoints, it's great. Last time I checked, this franchise was worth $5 billion, right? So the Cowboys don't lose. All right. So if we're looking for a loser, one doesn't exist.
It's a win-win.
Zeke just did something that is almost unheard of in the NFL, and it's because of the times. It's because of how they devalued the back position. But to get a deal 2 years before you're up and a third where you could be tender.
It is also, crazy. Though, a perfect storm. The best running back in the league that plays for a team that's worth the most in the league, that plays for an owner who's always been player-friendly.
No doubt.
And willing to pay his star players. You better make sure that most of those criteria are in place before you pull this stunt, because it worked like wonders here, but it won't every time.
Well, yeah, a couple of things. I mean, I think, one, it definitely shows that the Cowboys are willing to pay. We see that the Rams are willing to pay Todd Gurley with an average at 14.3. As you said, it doesn't necessarily apply to everybody else. And two, but I do think we still have to put a magnifying glass on the deal. Yes, Ezekiel Elliott gets his $15 million a year, but you have to do 8 overall years to get there. That's still a lot of years to be under contract to achieve that APY. No one's sniffing at it. We'd all take that home, but it's still a lot of years to get there.
What the 50 is
guaranteed.
Well, okay, but let me break that down. So you have 50 guaranteed, but we still want to make sure and look out for how much of that is guaranteed for injury cap and skill. Mm-hmm. Two, he has the $50 million guaranteed, but when you look at what of that is newly guaranteed, remember Ezekiel Elliott had 12.5 already coming to him. That puts it at 37.5. When you compare that to Todd Gurley, it's only $4 million more than Todd Gurley, who had 33.5 newly guaranteed money, but only $2.5 million more than Le'Veon. So why is that significant? Because Le'Veon Bell is getting $35 million in 4 years flush, right? Whereas Ezekiel Elliott is getting 37.5 over 6. So you look at the efficiency of that payout of that guarantee, and you can also evaluate the potency of how that plays out. Plus, we also want to see how that 3-year overall cash flow comes out as well. So I'm just saying, we still want
to know. It's a good deal.
It's a good deal.
We need you on a board.
I love that you're in the weeds, but let me boil it down. It's a lot of money.
But
for a good
talk contracts on this show.
I'm seeing dollar signs.
Now that they got this done today, that's a big deal because on Wednesday mornings, you're installing game
plans. Well, let me ask Coach about that because let's talk about week one. Because whatever he's get, however they're slicing and dicing the money, he'll be there on Sunday. How can you use him week one now that it – what are we at Wednesday? I don't even know what day it is. Wednesday.
Which means – whether he practices just a little today or not, he'll definitely be in the game plans for Thursday, which is typically your red zone and your goal line and doing those things to wrap up the week. So he's going to be integrated into the system. he'll be able to play this week and contribute. How much? Probably shouldn't take a full load, I wouldn't think. All right? He has not been getting hit.
That's practice today, by the way.
Yeah, he's not getting hit. Well, that right there doesn't count.
Okay. Certainly
and,
not.
And, and you got to make sure ball security, making sure he's sharp on everything he needs to do, his conditioning. You don't want to overdo it. Now, late in the game, this 3rd and 8, you got to have it. And Betcher's bringing a defense coordinator from the New York Giants. Betcher's bringing some kind of exotic blitz. You want your best running back in there. And Ezekiel Elliott is a great protector as well as a great runner.
But you got to watch out, obviously, for soft tissue injuries potentially.
Yep, for sure.
Going from training in Cabo to max, you know, activity on game day. Obviously, you know about that. You know about that. That's a whole thing, that, especially at the running back position. I remember a few years ago, LeSean McCoy got hurt in the preseason, had a hamstring. Rex Ryan thought he was good. 3 carries into the game, and the next thing you know, he's missing 3 or 4 games. So that's something that they also have to allocate very carefully because he's going to be exuberant, want to get out there and show everybody, you know, what a $90 million running back looks like.
Yeah. Well, listen, Cabo seems like the perfect place to me to focus only on football. So I don't know what the problem would be.
With a pina colada.
Yeah, in 2 hands. Well, there must have been something in the water. The Rams decided to get in on the spending spree. The team and quarterback Jared Goff agreed to terms on a 4-year contract extension that will keep Goff with the Rams through the 2024 season. It's worth $134 million, an NFL record, 110 of which is guaranteed. That's according to our Adam Schefter. He's come a long way since that tough rookie season. He's won 24 games under Sean McVay during 2017. For perspective, that's tied for the most in the league with 2 pretty good quarterbacks, Tom Brady and Drew Brees. Those wins aren't enough, though. Last year, he became the 4th quarterback to ever pass for 4,500 yards and 30 touchdowns before turning the ripe old age of 25. So listen, a good day to be Jared Goff as well as Ezekiel Elliott, but I'll ask this question. Who am I starting with, Coach? Come on, you know what people say. Is he a system quarterback?
Does it matter? He is absolutely a system quarterback. He's a perfect fit for their system. So it was a great signing. Sean McVay wraps up this deal. The L.A. Rams have their quarterback, and he fits their perfect system to a T. So, yeah, you can call him a system guy if you want. I would say he's a system guy. He's their system.
Well, isn't that funny? It's always obviously meant as a knock. At least that's the way I would take it. You're a system quarterback. In other words, if I pluck you from this group and put you somewhere else, you won't be the same. But if you're in the right system, why on earth would it matter?
Well, I'm going to roll my sleeves up on this one.
Okay, go ahead. Let's go. Get in the trenches here.
So first of all, let's erase 2016. His rookie year.
I think you have
pretend
to.
It never happened, right?
New coach.
No, but it did happen.
But because.
Whole different situation. Okay.
Correct. So let's go 2017, 2018, he's the starter. Over that 2-year span, he goes to the playoffs his first year. 2nd year takes him to the Super Bowl. He's a drop away in the Super Bowl from tying the game with 4 minutes to go in the 4th quarter. Right. 8,000 yards, 60 touchdowns. But when we talk about system quarterbacks, we're talking about any guy can make these throws. Well, if you watch tape, there's plays out there and throws out there by Jared Goff that they are not wide open receivers. These are difficult throws, and that's the thing we've undervalued with him is this accuracy. You tell me if the system is designing these wide open receivers. Like, watch this throw against Arizona. That's perfect coverage, but that's a perfect throw. This is not a system throw. Watch this one to Cooper Kupp. Listen, if the system is getting guys wide open like this, we got to get a new system. These throws are absolutely perfect. The one down to Cooks on Thursday Night Football. Again, this is not a system with guys that are running. Now, yes, they happen here and there, but look at these throws, movement in the pocket, being able to throw off balance. That is one of the hardest throws in football right there, is down seam with the defender underneath. So these throws, no random quarterback is making. And then I want to point this out. In 2017, last game of the year, he did not play. His backup, who was a 3rd-round pick, Sean Mannion, played. 3rd-round pick at quarterback should be a solid guy, right?
Sure.
In that game, Sean McVay called those plays with that system. He was 22 of 37 for 185 yards and 0 touchdowns. The system didn't work, or was it missing the quarterback?
It was missing the quarterback that fits their system perfectly.
Correct.
Which is why it's their system that he fits. And that's what it's all about. It doesn't matter if you fit every system in the league. It's do you fit their system? To me, he fits what they do. And the fact that he can drop some dimes in there is great.
We need to change our level of thinking when we hear system quarterback.
I think that might be the bigger point.
Because there's only a few guys that transcend systems, right? And we're talking about that's the greats. That's why we call them GOATs. This guy, you could take
Jordan
out of the triangle and the boxing one, triangle and one and whatever, and put him in another offense, he's still going to get 40.
Sure.
Right? So it's only a few guys like that. Most quarterbacks, to me, are system guys. My best example is when Vic went to Philly and they tried to make him throw from the pocket. I don't fear that Michael Vick. I fear the one that I played against in Atlanta that was going to change everything about how you had to approach him as a quarterback. So, dang, I totally understand what you're saying. That talent level gets you $110 million. But I think every quarterback is a system quarterback, unless we're talking about Aaron or Tom or Drew, where you got guys that just going to function
Marcus,
well.
Marcus, let me ask you this. We don't have a ton of time, but who's more important in that offense, Goff or Todd Gurley?
I think it's Todd Gurley.
You still do.
Yeah, even with the injury in it. And it's not because Jared Goff is not vitally important. What Todd Gurley does is the same thing that Zeke does for Dak. He creates opportunities for other guys.
Well, good thing for the Rams, both Goff and Gurley are locked up for the foreseeable future. So check that box and move on. The good news is that is done, okay? So if we have a to-do list for Jerry Jones, we're going to continue on down. They've already shelled out over $165 million on four extensions. Mm-hmm. During the offseason, they still need to empty the vault for a couple of guys, among them, of course, and chief among them, Dak Prescott, followed by Amari Cooper and top corner Byron Jones. Two quarterbacks from that class of 2016 have already been paid. That's Carson Wentz. We'll talk more about that in just a minute, but here's more from Ed Werder.
Three quarterbacks drafted ahead of Dak Prescott in 2016 have signed contract extensions this offseason. Jacoby Brissett, Carson Wentz, and Jared Goff. The agreements signed by Wentz and Goff will almost certainly be those most applicable to Prescott and agent Todd France as they continue negotiations with the Cowboys. One source told me they expected the team to make a final push to secure Prescott, and he could finally become the focal point now that Ezekiel Elliott has signed his record-setting contract. Both sides have expressed a willingness to negotiate during the season. The Goff contract would seem to set a ceiling for Prescott with his reported guarantee of $110 million, which is likely significantly less in actual money guaranteed at signing. Look, Prescott's accomplished more on the field than Wentz, but not as much as Goff, who went to the Super Bowl. Prescott has the option of playing out the final year of his rookie contract for $2 million. But despite being the first quarterback in Cowboys history to start every game his first three NFL seasons, Prescott would be taking an enormous risk with a potential injury that could compromise his future negotiating position.
Ed, thank you. Such important perspective. And here's more. As I mentioned, two quarterbacks from that class, including Carson Wentz, have been paid. They've been slightly more prolific, you could argue, than Dak or Jared Goff. However, Dak has won the most games on this list, leading Dallas to the NFC's best record since 2016. Plus, he's the only one of the three to never miss a game in the NFL, which, as we often say, the best ability is availability. So he has the edge there, and that matters. Is he the guy? Is he the next to get paid here? And would you write another big check if you were Jerry Jones?
Yes and yes. He's an ascending player. I was at the Cowboys camp this summer, and the command that he shows, all right, the accuracy that he's developing, I just really am impressed with Dak. I think Dak Prescott is on the ascent and is becoming one of the really top players in the league. And I think this is going to get done here soon, and he's going to get a lot of money. I mean, the table's been set.
So if I said to you he has not yet reached his ceiling, he will become a better quarterback, you are in agreement.
I definitely think the best is in front of him.
100%.
100%. And I can't think about any better time than when I saw him at Mississippi State and how he developed from his junior to senior year. He made it a big thing to stay in the pocket longer, read the defense instead of taking off and run. That's the thing people forget about Dak, too. He's an elite athlete. He's not just an athlete. He's an elite athlete who's shown durability,
yes,
who's shown the ability to make plays in pressure. So for all of the things that I've said about Dak from the eye test to me, I'm like, man, I just can't justify giving them $35 million, coach. But when you look at it holistically and you look at the other two guys, I take Wentz talent, right? I take Goff being in a perfect situation. But if I need a W, probably taking Dak Prescott.
Well, I mean, that's a bold statement because this is a business of wins and losses.
Yeah.
I mean, that ultimately really all that matters.
I think it's important for us to touch on Marcus's point on Dak's athleticism because, listen, Dak has been a good player in a system that was a little bit behind the times of the NFL culture right now. Right now, new offensive coordinator with Kellen Moore. And what is Kellen Moore going to do for Dak? Well, he's going to, one, utilize that athleticism more. It's not going to be, hey, we're going to put you in the shotgun, you're going to drop back three or five steps and we'll figure out something to, you're going to see more of this, more zone read, certainly in situations of third downs or down in the red zone. You're going to see more play action passes. They're going to move Dak where, similar to what, I think it's going to be a little bit of like a Sean Payton plus Matt Nagy, plus Mike Leach from Washington State kind of had this baby all, you know.
What kind of monster, are you creating?
Dude, right
but that's the thing, and that's the intriguing part about this situation right now is what can Kellen Moore do to unlock everything and put him at his most position to be successful. Let me say this, though, because, yes, we can look at those numbers in comparison to Goff or Carson Wentz, and certainly it points to him being worthy of a contract in that situation, but at the same time, he's the same guy that's never thrown for 4,000 yards, and he's never thrown for more than 23 touchdowns. That's the hard part. Like, just keeping it real.
No question.
Yes, QBR is better.
Is that?
Touchdown interception wins. But that's if you're a team, you're looking at it and going, wait.
That's wide receiver talent, though.
Sure. I was going to say, aren't there variables in that number? We say numbers never lie. We know they do.
It's about effectiveness. Sure. It's what it's about. And that's one thing you can't argue about Dak Prescott. He's been very effective in a good way for the Dallas Cowboys. Maybe not looking the way it's supposed to look. But two, I have to believe that Jerry and Steven takes this into account as well. Guys, Dak Prescott is not supposed to be playing, right? We all forget that Romo injury created this opportunity for Dak after a franchise had been put together to cover. This offensive line was really being built for Tony Romo. All of the things that you see because of the injuries, because of protection, and the things that they wanted to do. For Dak to come in and step in immediately when Romo got hurt and not give it back to nine. Look, I played with nine, Tony Romo. He's a hell of a quarterback. Romo had the ability to be ascending into these names. He was Super Bowl away from being thought of as one of these guys that we talk about, Breeze, Brady, Aaron Rodgers. So it wasn't easy from the beginning when Dak started this thing. And I got to give credit for that, Coach. Like, I just can't get that out of my mind that this franchise could have been in peril. Yeah. They did not think they were going to have to start a fourth-round quarterback and he would go on to win 13 games.
So here's my question, and I personally don't think they've waited too long, but some would suggest, you know, if all of this is true and there seems to be relative agreement, you know, why is Dak out there with
that is the question.
No deal.
Let's look at them in comparison to Carson Wentz, because they're going to be tied together. If you looked at them equally.
Because they're the same class and all that, that's what we do. That's right.
If you just looked at those two guys and said, okay, performance on the field, who deserves to be paid more, Carson or Dak Prescott? Results on the field. Who deserves to be paid more or sooner? Dak Prescott. Health on the field. Who deserves or should be paid sooner? Dak Prescott. Draft selection spot. Who should have been paid sooner? Dak Prescott. So the question is, why?
Well, here's one. Just playing devil's advocate. There's that, but there's also the economics of it. Sometimes you want to see how someone sets a market. Sometimes you don't want to be the first to anchor, in a negotiation.
Well, the market's not going down.
Right.
No, but it's only going up. The longer they see what Goff, but that's my point.
The longer they wait,
Goff set that bar,
the more they're going to pay.
It's youth.
I'm of the belief that the Cowboys have become a really good front office. In the last 5 or 6 years, they've become a really good front office.
I would say this. I don't think they get the credit they deserve because we say, oh, Jerry,
I agree. The move when they sign Dak will be another good move. It'll be a good move for this franchise. I think the comparison gets tough in this way, Dan. This is a young team, right? You have to factor in the fact that they got to take care of a lot of guys. Young and talented. They have a great dilemma. But when we look at Jared Goff, we look at Carson Wentz, they're a part of teams where most of their guys have been paid. You know, most of their guys, they don't have a Zeke Elliott in the building. They don't have a generational left tackle like Tyron Smith, a generational guard like Zach Martin, a generational center like Travis Frederick. We're talking about all first team, all pro guys spread all throughout this franchise. You go on the defensive side. They didn't think they would have to pay Jalen Smith, mm-hmm. but Jalen Smith turned out to be right. one of the best linebackers.
He changed that narrative.
So there's a lot of ancillary things that's working, not necessarily against Dak, but until I believe Dak is going to end up with the biggest one of them all. But before you do that, I think you got to make sure you take care of these guys around him.
Well, I tell you what, and you know this as a coach, double-edged sword, although it's a problem you'll have every day. You got young, you got talent, and you got paid. You better win.
Better win.
There's
no question. When Ed was talking about that, I was just thinking about Jason Garrett.
He'll take
good players.
Yeah, of course. It's a problem you'll have every day.
Take the good players.
Well, the only teams with 6 Super Bowl wins will meet on Sunday night, including the playoffs. It will be the 12th meeting between Tom Brady and Ben Roethlisberger. Brady has won 8 of the first 11, including all 4 in Foxborough. And Mike Reese joins us now. Mike, a familiar opponent in the Pittsburgh Steelers. One difference this year, the Patriots won't see Antonio Brown. What are they saying about this year's iteration of the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Wendy, from Bill Belichick's news conference at noon, one of the best things we saw was his footwear. Came in rocking the flip-flops to go along with his blue jeans and button-down shirt, maybe holding on to the last bits of summer here in New England. But then we listened to him, and it was clear it was all business preparing for this Steelers team without Antonio Brown, a wide receiver group now led by Juju Smith-Schuster.
I mean, he's a good player. He's instinctive. Catches the ball well. He's got good size, smart, and move him around. He's different than Brown, so they move all the receivers around. So they did it before Brown, they did it with Brown, now they're doing it after Brown. So they move him around. You know, they're mainly a 3-receiver team. They play 4 guys, probably play 5 if Johnson's healthy or apt or whatever. So they have good depth of receiver. Good depth at tight end, good depth at running back. So I'm sure we'll see a lot of those guys, however they decide to play them.
No flip-flops for Bill Belichick at practice, where one of the interesting things I saw was 42-year-old quarterback Tom Brady working on his mobility. That's timely. The Steelers, they tied for the NFL lead last year with 52 sacks, Wendy.
Mike, thank you. It all gets underway Sunday in Foxborough. Meanwhile, speaking of Antonio Brown, he was active on Instagram today. Here's what he had to offer. He posted a picture of the letter that he got from the team. This is because he missed a walkthrough on August 22nd. He tagged the Raiders in the post, writing, "When your own team want to hate, but there's no stopping me now. Devil is a lie. Everyone got to pay this year, so we clear." Now, Von Miller, just moments ago, was asked about it. This from our ESPN Raiders reporter, Paul Gutierrez. He said, "That's my guy. I love Antonio. He's been a star receiver since day one. We all know how these receivers get. It's not just the Oakland Raiders. I think a lot of things get blown out of proportion. When he steps on the football field, he is ready to go." And this from another Steeler, a former Steeler, I should say. Le'Veon Bell addressed his Sunday workload. "I could carry 50 times if they asked me to. When I said don't hold back, I meant literally that. I've been waiting a long time for this moment." And indeed he has, after sitting out the entirety of last season. The game's oldest rivalry will kick off the NFL's 100th season, including the playoffs. The Packers and Bears have met 198 times. Green Bay leading the all-time series. But how close is this? 97-95. There have been 6 ties between these two teams. This is always an interesting matchup, always nuanced. This year, no different, Dan, because you have Matt LaFleur and a new Packers offense. And oh, by the way, their first test, their first real test, will be against this vaunted Chicago defense.
Yeah, tough draw. You know, when you think about LaFleur coming over, really running McVay's system, what did the Bears do against McVay in that play action pass that hurt them so much last year? So first of all, point out the tight end. The Rams, now the Packers, will love to play fake their play action pass toward the tight end. And what they like to do is they're going to take Gurley, send them that way, and then this tight end is going to come back across the line of scrimmage. Now, it's important for everybody to understand, when you're in this play action game, these offensive linemen are running laterally for their play action fakes, okay? Now, what happens is you can create some seams. I want everyone to watch what the Bears did to attack it, because they're going to blitz the tight end side and catch some of those seams. Eddie Jackson, the safety, comes outside. Floyd wraps inside, and then Trevathan's going to find one of those seams. The movement up front creates a little bit of a window that allows that blitz, that movement on the defensive line to find space. Now, again, pointing out the tight end. Here he is up top. Again, they are going to send Gurley that way, wrap this tight end back down here, and the whole offensive line will run laterally across the field. Put our eyes on Khalil Mack and these two linebackers. The Bears' plan against the Packers is going to be here. We are going to blitz that tight end, and Trevathan is going to find that play-action pass seam that comes from those offensive linemen running laterally and force throwaways. That is going to be a big part of this game. Coach, you know, if you're game planning and you're the Bears against the Packers, who are going to be so dependent on that play-action pass, what does it do when you decide to blitz against that zone pass scheme?
Well, they're taking away the ability for Green Bay, in this case, going back and using the Rams system, to get, they want to get double teams. They want to get the defense playing sideways, playing the run, right? And they're attacking and taking them out of that run-pass conflict for the D linemen. They're being aggressive and putting all the blockers on individual one-on-one blocks. They have a chance to win.
It's also about having smart players, too, because your platform is moving. We used to always have a rule when we blitz, when I play for Wade Phillips, the gap will change areas, and you have to be able to hit your gaps in those particular areas. That's what makes this Bears defense really good. Like, if you break down film and study what they really do, guys are always where they're supposed to be, even when the line of scrimmage is moving. They do a tremendous job, as good as anybody in the NFL.
It's going to be a big challenge for Matt LaFleur, because when you – so that play action's great until – someone blitzes you and they hit a seam and you're not ready for it.
Well, it's interesting you talk about the challenge for Matt LaFleur, because much has been made about the fact that he's working with Aaron Rodgers, that they'll have to be on the same page perhaps in a way that Rodgers and Mike McCarthy were not. He's been clear this week anyway in saying that certainly Aaron Rodgers has the option to audible if and when he chooses to do so. Here's what LaFleur said.
You guys just will not stop with this audible thing. It's unbelievable. What do you guys want me to say? I think that we've always had adjustments within our plays. Like, it's just we called it something different. And the fact that I didn't call it an audible, everybody's running wild with it. So it's comical to me. But like I said, I feel good with what we've got in our plan, how we've gotten to this point, and I'm confident that he's got a total command and control of what we're trying to get done.
You know, Coach, sometimes there's coach speak. I'm going to have to side with him on this one, because there's just no situation on the planet where he's not going to have Aaron Rodgers play to his strengths and do what he does when he's up there. Just doesn't make sense. You can call it what you want. You can call it a bunny rabbit if you want, but that's it seems like what they'll do.
In today's NFL, there's not anybody that's playing offense, is going up to the line, and there's a bad look, and they're running the play.
Here's an idea. Let's do what we were going to do anyway.
Aaron Rodgers, or anybody else, in the NFL nowadays, we know how to get out of bad plays, and that's, I'm sure every offense has that, and certainly Matt LaFleur has that.
Look, to say there won't be some bumps along the way, maybe, but I would surmise that those two know.
He'll learn. He's a young head coach.
Yeah,
he'll learn.
It's absolutely
smart, right?
Well, of course it is.
Aaron Rodgers, in the short term, controls Matt LaFleur's career. And surely I'm going to give you the power to do whatever you want. And listen, Aaron's not going to be up at the line of scrimmage throwing plays all over the place. They're going to sit down and go, hey, wouldn't that be something?
He has
they're
that right.
Sit down
we, heard,
and go,
we heard him say he has
hey,
that right.
If they give us this look, let's get to this. If they get third down, we've got to package this stuff that we feel comfortable. Because remember, their receivers are still young as well.
Sure.
So you want to make sure that everybody, when you are audibling, is on the same page.
Well, it's the biggest cliche in the book, too. You come out and rattle off a few wins. This will be a moot conversation.
LaFleur is like, man, stop trying to create this narrative.
Right.
Right. And they let us in with this conversation.
They cracked that door.
You get to a point where now these guys are in game week mode.
Yeah. They had enough of the play.
Yeah, enough of the play. Yeah. And I'm looking forward to seeing them play. And as well, Matt LaFleur, welcome to coaching. Welcome to being the head coach. Here go the Bears defense.
Yes. Welcome. Baptism by fire. All right. We're looking forward to it. It's tomorrow night. Finally, football is back. Here's what history suggests, though. Even Zeke can't help the Cowboys win the NFC East again. Why? Because no team has repeated as division champions since the 04 Eagles. And since 2005, the Cowboys have the most division titles with 5, followed by Philly with 4. It can certainly happen. That's for sure. But again, we're talking about recent history. So we go to the tail of the tape, all right? We'll talk about who has the edge here, Cowboys, Eagles, and we start where else? With Dan and the quarterbacks.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to take Matt Berry's line. Let's not overthink this.
Regular think it. Don't regular think it.
Don't even think. Listen, I'm taking Carson Wentz. Multitude of reasons. More talented player. He's had more moments in the league that are inexplainable, meaning making plays that we just don't see a lot of guys making. He's fully healthy, second year recovered from that ACL injury. He's got a better play caller, and he's got more weapons around him. Also, I picked him to MVP, so I can never come up here right and take Dak over the guy that I picked MVP. Listen, Carson Wentz is going to have a monster year, and if I had to choose between the two, I'll take Carson.
Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how was the play? That was relatively clear. Running backs.
Anybody in that room making $90 million?
I don't believe so.
Okay, well, let's
just go ahead.
Speaking of not overthinking it, look, a dynamic player. This generational, what we talking about at the running back position. One guy changes the whole narrative. Maybe if it was a conversation, they did it by committee in Dallas, but it ain't no damn committee. It's Zeke Elliott and them other dudes. So, look, when I look forward to seeing this matchup, he's going to be the catalyst. And one group that we don't have on here is the offensive line, which I think could possibly give Dallas the edge. But when 21 has the ball, great things happen.
I like that's like a name of a band, Elliot and the Other Dudes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Playing a tune. What do we got with wide receivers?
Well, as much as I love Amari, and he did a tremendous job when he joined the Dallas Cowboys last year, the depth of this group over here, I've got to go with the Eagles. You know, you've got Aguilar, you've got Alshon Jeffries, you've got Ortega Whiteside.
The A-team.
You've got Deshaun Jackson. You've got a bunch of, you know, I mean, really talented receivers. So I like this group.
Okay. Now, interesting. Tight ends.
One, you were right on the receivers. That's smart. There's just too many big play guys downfield for the Eagles. Listen, the tight ends, this guy right here is at worst 1B in the tight ends of the National Football League. He's, last year, I think, of like 116 catches. We understand that Carson loves him as a pass-catching threat. The thing with Zach Ertz is there are so many different things that you can do with him, and this is his specialty, down in the red zone. This team, because of Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert, who's the backup tight end, will be the best red zone team in football this year. But Zach Ertz is the guy that leads it. You can't cover him with the safety because he's too physical. You can't cover him with the linebacker because he's too athletic. But again, the guy that is going to take this group to the next level, Dallas Goedert, is going to be equally as impressive in many situations.
Wow.
Love Witten. Love him. That guy's the next young star.
Edge Eagles. All right, the big D.
Can we just all agree that what Dallas has up front on the offensive side cancels out great defenses? Can we argue that? Yeah, we will. I will. I'll argue it for you. Look, if Dallas defensive line had to play against Dallas Cowboys offensive line, I'll pick the Eagles defensive line. But let me tell you something, man. When you look at this defense, they've been built for the modernized portion of football. They have linebackers that can run sideline to sideline. They created that. When everybody, when they drafted Leighton Vander Esch, everybody was like, man, who is this guy? And all he did was have 1,000 tackles, be able to cover downfield. Jalen Smith, obviously a great story. But the key here to me is the ability to pass rush. And they have some of the best in the business in DeMarcus Lawrence. And you got Robert Quinn coming back, who's suspended for 2 games as well, one of those other pass rushers. They are very good on that side.
They'll
of
have
ball.
Their sights set for that one quarterback up
to
top.
To the point of this defense, nobody in the league benefits from the run game more than defense.
That's right. Well,
of
course.
Defense that gets points scored on them per possession, like at middle of the pack in the NFL, but they only play like the third most or the third least amount of snaps out of defenses in the NFL because the run game's so good. Great defense, I agree.
Yep. Before I started that, didn't I say if this was another offensive line, I would have picked
you? Yeah.
Like,
he's building
All right, listen, say what you will. Pick the division, and it doesn't really matter how you break it down. Just pick a winner.
Oh, I'm taking the Eagles in the division. Too talented, too well-coached, most complete roster, one of the most complete rosters in the NFL. I also, again, have them winning the Super Bowl.
Right.
So.
Again, that makes fair point.
Yeah.
All in. Like you
all
got Nebraska
the
winning that championship.
Yeah, I'll slow this down.
I got the Dallas Cowboys. I
really?
The youth on this team, obviously getting Zeke back in
Where
the
Where do you
field.
Live?
I live in Dallas. I'm not playing Homer. I didn't pick them to win the Super Bowl.
Coach, be a smart guy. Break the tie here.
I've got to break it. I'm going to tell you, I didn't go to Eagles camp. I went to Cowboys camp. And their offensive and defensive line. I'm telling you, Frederick's back makes a big difference in that offensive line.
You got a great head of hair, but I've never been more disappointed.
You
yes, coach.
I think the Cowboys are going to put it all together this year. I really do.
All right. Well, no better time, especially for Jason Witten. As we discussed, the pieces are in place. Jerry and company feel like they've done their job. So now they're going to say, it's all on you, my man. Well, Antonio Brown back on the gram today. A photo of a fine letter he received for missing a walkthrough August 22nd. He tagged the Raiders saying, when your own team want to hate, but there's no stopping me now. Devil is a lie. Everyone got to pay this year, so we clear. All right, so then there was this. Guess what? No worries. He's at practice today, and wait for it, he's got a helmet. He's found one. After the long summer drama, Brown has opted to play this season in a Zenith Shadow helmet. He believes the Zenith Shadow makes him feel more agile and comfortable and allows for better visibility. So rest in peace, Schutt Air Advantage, says Adam Schefter, which, of course, was AB's previous helmet of choice. Elsewhere in the AFC, the Browns will kick off their season against the Titans. Cleveland winless in its last 14 season openers, the longest streak in NFL history. They last won in 04 with Jeff Garcia as their starting quarterback.
Finally putting the pads on, it's real. You know, we've had a long offseason. It's been a long wait. I feel like it's been a longer one than last year. So, no, we're ready to go. I'm ready to go. But it is all business. Well, nobody's done anything yet. So I'd say that everybody's starting from the same, you know, square one. And then I'd say it's pretty hard to live up to any hype if you're listening to the outside. None of that really matters. And so I think we got a bunch of guys that are bought into what's going on in this building, the standards that we're setting. And so to us, that's all that matters.
Well, of course, it seems like a longer offseason because last year nobody talked about the Browns or cared about the Browns or anything at all about the Browns. And this year, a different story altogether. What do you want to see week one, given the expectations that we know have been established?
Yeah, for the Browns offense, this will be a good challenge for them. Tennessee's got a really good defense, and they got guys on their back end that can play man-to-man coverage with Vaccaro and Byard and Logan Ryan and Malcolm Butler and Adoree Jackson. So this will challenge this offense for sure, and I know the Browns have a ton of weapons. So good test for them week one. I also honestly believe that Myles Garrett, the defensive end for the Cleveland Browns, might win Defensive Player of the Year week one now because Tennessee is going to be without Taylor Lewan, their starting left tackle. And Myles Garrett is entering this unblockable phase of his career. And that is, if they don't have a clear plan for Myles Garrett to help whoever's going to play tackle, this game could get ugly quick defensively.
I want to see him be explosive. I mean, we've talked about it. Freddie Kitchens coming in.
Right.
He understands what he has at his disposal with OBJ, Jarvis Landry, and Njoku. I want to see all these guys on the field at the same time as well. Nick Chubb came on at the end of last year and was really a really good running back. I want to see this offense be explosive, but I'm with Dan. I'm about this defense. We've talked so much about Baker Mayfield, Odell Beckham Jr., and so it has been the conversation. This defense real now. Denzel Ward, the rookie, last year before he got hurt, was playing out of his mind at the cornerback position. They drafted Greedy Williams, who's another lockdown man-to-man corner. They have Sheldon Richardson up front, Miles. Everybody forgets about Olivier Vernon, one of the best pass rushers in the league that they acquired as well. This defense could be as good as the offense potentially as well.
Nobody wants to hear about the defense.
I know.
We want to talk about Baker Mayfield, man. Baker Mayfield, all right? Look, Baker, you're starting in my fantasy league, okay?
That's all you need to know.
I need you to perform, all right? Get it down. Get it done, Baker. All right, throw to OBJ, and let's go, baby. I can't wait.
A defensive guy coming around.
Right? Look, what will we see? What will we see week one?
Will they open it up? This is going to be a good game.
It's a good test. Cleveland will spread Tennessee out a little bit and find a matchup, probably in Njoku inside, maybe a Chubb on a linebacker.
Right.
They'll play with some tempo. They're going to try and jump on Tennessee. Let that defensive line hunt and go Marcus Mariota. You got to find a way to beat us through the air.
And let's not forget the head coaching debut of Freddie Kitchens, who has got a lot riding on him because there's a lot of different personalities, big pieces in place, but they got to come out and play as a team.
I'll be looking to see if they press. I'm interested to see if Baker Mayfield and this offense
try to do too much
instead of letting it settle.
Because there's going to be hyped in Cleveland.
Oh, my goodness.
You think?
And you control that, though. You control that as a play caller.
By the way, let's not forget, we are one season removed from, like, you get a free beer if we come out and score a point or whatever the hell it was. I guess it was win a
they
game, but whatever.
After, in the locker room after they won the game.
Well,
they're trying to put that in the rearview mirror.
I don't blame them. Speaking of Ezekiel Elliott, who we've talked quite a lot about today, this is from Ed Werder. He says being the highest paid running back was important to him. Why? Because I think I'm the best. He said a teammate reached out during his holdout and told him to come back, not to come back without a deal. And then there's this, Zeke on the eventual Dak extension. I want it to happen. I want to play the rest of my career with him. And I presume there that Dak Prescott's talking about his own extension. He's sort of the next one in line, you would think. Although the Cowboys, and we've talked about this, Zeke was talking about Dak. They had so many mouths to feed, and they've checked them off sort of one by one on their to-do list. But Ezekiel Elliott was the big one, some would argue the most important.
No, there's no question about it. This team, very, put it bluntly, at 3 o'clock this morning, did not have the chance to win the Super Bowl. Once this deal got done, it's starting at 4 a.m., this team now has a chance to win the Super Bowl. And I promise you, every guy who woke up as a member of the Dallas Cowboys this morning, they sat up a little bit taller, and they're a little bit more excited for Sunday's game because now, okay, we got our guy back.
Absolutely.
Well, he's back, and if you heard Zeke say, somebody told me not to come back without a deal,
I think. I mean, Zeke got paid. The Dallas Cowboys got their star running back back in line.
You know who wins the most? We win because tomorrow night, right about this time.
Football.
Football.
Yeah. Football.
The Bears and Packers. I cannot
wait.
Oh, dear. See you then.